Indeed.
Did that just hit me? As if stirred up by the sound of this departing train. How had his lips been felt only now, after the kisses of this winter breeze left my cheek? Here, in the station, seen by eyes I've waited lifetimes to look into. But why only now do the tears begin to well? Why does it feel like only now the world around me speaks and shows me hues I've never seen? I can finally breathe. I can finally breathe.
Have I not seen you in such a long time, friend? Oh, wow. Okay, so it's been, I want to say, a solid 2 years since I've done an episode, and I've had to drag myself through the muck to get this one out. I don't know. I guess 2020 really took it out of me more than I'd like to admit. But here I am, season 3, I believe, episode 1. And let me just kick this off by saying a huge thank you to Chris from the UK. Simba Chris, you know who you are. Maybe you're listening to this episode, maybe you're not. And I asked Chris if he'd want to say something as a token of my appreciation for his inquiry to if I'm ever going to do another episode again, which, again, this I don't get this kind of stuff often at all. I have like a handful of listeners on this thing, but each one of you guys who gets any kind of an enjoyment from this is just amazing. I just love it. So he'd like to say, and I quote, "Honestly, I think the one thing I'd want to say is to encourage all people to think for themselves and to stay firm in what they know, not believe, despite what people may say." Very wise words from Chris in the UK. Thanks, man. Dude, it really means a lot that you listen or that you have listened, and hopefully you'll continue to listen and maybe someday we'll be friends. So yeah, another entity I need to address is a man from North London by the name of Daniel. Daniel, big shout out to you. Dude, I met Daniel at a rave. I don't even know how the conversation started. He may have even heard my accent and known that I wasn't from around there. He tripped out on some other people's accents there. I mean, it was a very bizarre rave, according to a lot of people. I had a blast. He made sure I had a blast. I went to another rave that he invited me to that blew my mind. I can't say enough, dude. Daniel, you're an incredible host. I hope to see you again. You are loaded with charm and charisma. Yeah. But, yeah. So, tons of cool people in London. If you get a chance to go, just go. You speak English already, so why not? Just go. With that being said, this episode was inspired by a somewhat recent venture. I found myself some time ago visiting Portugal. You know, it's a place that I'd been wanting to visit for a long time because I have a friend that I've known for years now there, Pedro. And I always heard good things about it. And I also found myself once again in London, one of my favorite cities. And I noticed something very peculiar about my stays in both of those places. I found myself just naturally finding friends, people to talk to, reasons to go out. And if you know me and my life here in Southern California, I'm really not like that too much. I also noticed that just pleasant things and circumstances happened. You know, I found myself eating good food, really enjoying my quality of life, etc. And I found myself and the people that I actually engaged with, I usually had a lot in common. It was very delightful, you know, that's the one thing I could say. And me being really big on astrology, I actually recalled sometime on this trip, some time ago, something a good friend of mine, Alex, which Dr. Alex, had said about astrocartography. And, you know, he brought this up to me at a time when I wasn't really traveling. So I decided to look up my birth chart, which I know like the back of my hand, and the resulting astrocartography map. Think of it as a birth chart extrapolated across a map of the world. So it's essentially how your birth chart affects different places or vice versa, right? And of course, like, I'm not an expert on this, but I know enough about astrology to probably put together some rule of thumbs for your benefit. So I looked at my astrocartography map and I noticed there's a Venus line running. I mean, this is just a portion of the line, but it runs right across the coast of Portugal, touches Porto, and then like just completely cuts right at the M25 in southeastern London, the London orbital, which is about, I want to say, roughly around 10 or 12 miles from Zone 1, London. And I found this to be very much descriptive, or I should say, you know, it justifies my experience in those places. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to pause right there, right? Because especially for those of you who don't really know too much about astrology, I'm going to put together just some basic points to make this all make sense a bit, right? So astrology is essentially the study of how planetary bodies affect circumstances in our world and how they affect us, right? Our psychology, really. If you want to believe it in that way, right? Let's start with Jupiter. The planet Jupiter, this is all just a big cheat sheet, right? Jupiter thinks success, luck, expansion, wisdom, higher learning, right? So all the things that are exalted in our society, the best things. Saturn think limitation, obstacles, confinement, death. Mars, war, aggression, enemies, drive, competition. Venus, love, friendship, relationships, luxuries, delights. The Sun, identity, self-esteem, confidence, vitality, success, personal expression. The Moon, intuition, femininity, psychic ability, emotional nature, I guess. And what am I missing? Mercury, intelligence, communication, youth, technology, those types of things, right? So what did I get? So Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, Venus, Sun, the Moon, Mercury. I think that's the same. That's like the seven main ones, I believe. Okay, so those are the ones that really matter right now. They're the other ones that are a bit more nuanced to understand. And if you're really interested, just go on astro.com, free horoscopes, and then I think you could just look up locational astrology or something like that. But anyway. So the cool thing about this is that regarding the influences these places may bring you, sometimes people who get into it may think like, oh, dude, I really want to go to these places because I hear that, you know, it's not uncommon to be like, I don't know, you can go to your Jupiter line and find some form of success or just overall felicity in your life. You can go to your moon line and have like a really mystical experience. You can go to your Saturn line, and unfortunately a lot of people go to their Saturn line and they have pretty harsh luck usually. But there's also some things that come as consolation for the obstructions that you face on your Saturn line. But without getting too much into that, let me also divide this conversation into a couple things. In astrology, there's something known as a benefic influence. Think bene as in Italian or bien in Spanish. That means good. A benefic experience or influence means good. The benefics in astrology are Jupiter and Venus. That would be like luck and fortune and delight and love, respectively. Now, the malefics, mal being not good or bad, are Saturn and Mars. That's death and obstruction, limitation, confinement, imprisonment, and animosity, anger, competition, enemies, right? Respectively. The funny thing is, I've always been drawn to foreign places, and I don't consider myself a traveler, and I think I've brought this up before. I think it might have even been in like the civic compatibility. Well, that's so funny. Civic compatibility episode that I did. I'm not really much of a traveler. I have like a handful of places that I really want to be, or I have an interest in being to. But I always called it like my little triangle, even though it's not really a triangle. But now when I look at my astrocartography map, these places fall right in line with my Venus and Jupiter line in Europe. So my benefic places. I've always been repulsed by where I live in the West Coast right now. Well, as it turns out, I have a Mars line that cuts right through the coast of the West Coast of the United States. So, if you find yourself in a similar situation, let's just say that you have a Mars line or you're very near a Saturn line that really doesn't work for you, you probably would want to wonder like, well, it's kind of sucks. I don't really have a choice. I can't really travel so easily to these places, or maybe I have them in very far off lands. Well, the interesting thing is the influence of these places can be activated via cultural output or people that emanate from these places. So if you find yourself with someone, or if you find yourself with a Venus line in, let's say, Brazil or Thailand or Nigeria, kind of sitting with some cultural output from these places, whether it be the music, whether it be a work of art that you have in your home, or something of meaning to you that you attune yourself to from these places, can activate that. Furthermore, people from those places can also activate that energy in your life, which is really insane. And I've noticed that. I most often get along with Danes. I mean, I lived there for a year. I was drawn there for some reason. And I think it's because I attuned myself to the possibility of, hey, maybe there's something that the world can offer me that really makes me happy. And sure enough, one day, a friend kind of said, hey, he convinced me like, hey, just you should come with me to this place. I think you'd really like it. Lived there for a year. More often than not, I have a really good relationship with a lot of Danes that I meet. But something is also interesting is that in retrospect, the cultural influences from certain places tend to be those that reflect the astrological influence I have in those places. Let me give you some examples. So with the same friend, I found myself hitchhiking in north central Germany. And the guy we were hitchhiking with said, you know what? I'm not really going to take you any farther because the traffic is really bad. I'll take you the rest of the way tomorrow. So we stopped. And then we took a look around this small, small village. And it was a village of about 1,200 people. And maybe I've even talked about this before. But there was one point where we were around these kids. I mean, we were about 20 and 21 at the time, and they were about like 16, 17, 15, between 15 and 18, 15 and 19. And then he was like, okay, well, now I feel kind of vulnerable. This is kind of sketchy. And I just said, hey, just wait a minute. And sure enough, one of those kids offered us a beer, and we were some sort of minor small town celebrity for the next 5 days at what was their kirmes, which is like their type of prom, right? And it was a super amazing time. We got lucky. That is on my same Jupiter line. Now, in terms of the movies or the cultural output that I, or the cultural input, I should say, that I receive, there's a specific movie that I watch quite often. And it's because, in a sense, I could kind of relate to it. It really speaks to my soul. Now, I don't really belong to that culture. But again, there's something about the subculture that really kind of pulls me in and I resonate with. And it's a movie about the UK rave scene, at least in the early 2000s. I mean, that was before my time of partying, since it came out in 2000. But it's a movie called Human Traffic, and it's not grim. Don't worry, it's not like the title suggests, but it's literally just a lighthearted movie about raving. And it really kind of, it's a very spirited movie. And it's, for some reason, it just, the energy of it just kind of really inspires me. It takes place in Cardiff, which is right, my solar line falls right on top of Cardiff. Not far from that point is Bristol, which is the epicenter of some of my favorite music. And the same thing with London, which is right nearby that, which falls right under my Venus line. So this is a very auspicious place culturally for me. Similarly, there's another movie that I'm really drawn to, but not for these qualities, but because it kind of inspires a nostalgic perspective of what I consider to be youth, right? It's an old Fellini movie called Amarcord. And I really admire it for its careless, I should say, carefree, capricious nature that to me reminds me of what it would be like to be 10 years old again during summer. This movie is based in Rimini, Italy. And my Mercury line falls right over that. And the Mercury line inspires this feeling of eternal youth. Now, I'm not saying that Rimini is like that to everyone, but it's just the perspective that I get from this place. It's subjective, right? But a lot of times, people will deny astrological influences, and I get it. You can't really measure that with any kind of modern scientific instrument. You can't. And there is also like the notion of confirmation bias. Like, okay, so this is what it's supposed to be, and maybe you're projecting that. But I feel like I'm learning more about this kind of stuff in retrospect that just seems to be the case. And sometimes when I have like friends who are younger, maybe like in their late teens or early 20s, they'll probably ask me like, oh, you know, where do you think I should go? Where do you think I should travel? And I would say that it's best to really just follow your gut instinct, because one of my greatest trips was to Iceland when I was 21. And that, get this, I used as a type of rite of passage to test my own courage. Iceland falls under my Mars line, which is the planet of courage. So if there's like a need for you to really get out there and explore, then it may behoove you to really listen to what you may need out of these things, and you'll be guided to those places anyway. I think intuition does a lot more for us than we really give it credit for. Theoretically, like, you know, you may just see something on Instagram or social media or whatever. You might follow someone on TikTok that posts all these vacation videos, and it obscures what you really need. Because, I mean, and this is just from like a astrological standpoint, I mean, you may be lured inadvertently to your Saturn line when you don't really need something like that, or your Mars line when you don't really need something like that. But I definitely say that there is definitely a ton of accuracy, probably the most accuracy I've ever seen, in any kind of astrological practice. Like, it's pretty uncanny what I've noted when I take a look at my astrocartography map. So, yeah, this episode was a dedication to you, and that in the hopes that, you know what, maybe you'll find something in your map that will confirm the reason why maybe your whole life you've been attracted to a specific culture. Maybe you've always gotten along well with people from a different land. Maybe you've always liked music, literature, whatever, and it really spoke to you because it was from a certain place. You maybe never knew why, but maybe there's a reason. And maybe with this kind of information, moving forward, you can finally make the decision to move to that place you always had a good feeling about. Whether it be for success, prominence, vitality, love. But in any case, I'll make an effort to be here where you know me to be, at the intersection of fact and fantasy. See ya.